Well, our verse for this week is taken out of the passage that Kenneth's teaching on, Acts 3:25 and 26. And, of course, Peter's speaking here to the Jews, and he says, "You are the children of the prophets," speaking to the Jewish people. "You are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers." And now he says what the covenant is, "saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed." That's taken, of course, from Genesis 12. "Unto you first," Jews are first because they're in a covenant relationship with God, under the Abrahamic covenant, "unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you." And what's that blessing? "In turning every one of you from his iniquities." So the picture here is that of the healing of the lame man. And Peter uses that opportunity to preach a sermon to these people. And basically what he's saying to them is, look, here's your opportunity to receive the blessing of the Abrahamic covenant. And what is the great blessing of the Abrahamic covenant? Well, it's the seed. And the seed, of course, was the Messiah. And this Messiah is Jesus. And his purpose is to turn everyone away from his iniquities. And so when it says, "In thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed," the seed is Jesus, and the blessing is being delivered from iniquities. And so what you have in Jesus is the fulfillment of the Abrahamic covenant. Do you see that? I mean, it's really clear here, okay? You're the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers. And then he says what the covenant is, saying unto Abraham, "And in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed." Now, people take this and say, well, the seed of Abraham is the Jews over in the Middle East, and through them the world's going to be blessed. No, the seed is Jesus, okay? And the blessing is that he would turn every one of us away from our iniquities. Now, I want to read you an article. This is an article out of the Jerusalem Post, which is the newspaper that's published in Israel. And it's entitled, "Falwell, : Jews Can Get to Heaven." Now, I want you to understand right up front that this article is a slander on Jerry Falwell. All right? Jerry Falwell doesn't believe this. He's never quoted in this article. People say stuff about him, all right? But he's not quoted. And the very next day after this article came out, he put up a rebuttal on his website, which I have a copy of here, in which he repudiates everything they say about him in the article. Okay, so I'm not saying this to cast any negative light on Jerry Falwell at all. The reason why I'm reading you this article is I want you to understand what happens when people don't get the subject of the covenants right. All right? Now listen to the article. "An evangelical pastor and an Orthodox rabbi, both from Texas, have apparently persuaded leading Baptist preacher Jerry Falwell that Jews can get to heaven without being converted to Christianity. Televangelist John Hagee," you ever heard of him, John Hagee? Okay. "Televangelist John Hagee and Rabbi Aria Scheinberg, whose Cornerstone Church and Rodefe Shalom congregations are based in San Antonio, told the Jerusalem Post that Falwell has adopted Hagee's innovative belief in what Christians refer to as, quote, dual covenant, unquote, theology." So they're going to start talking about dual covenant theology, okay? "This creed, which runs counter to mainstream evangelicalism, maintains that the Jewish people have a special relationship to God through the revelation at Sinai, and therefore they do not need to go through Christ or the cross to get to heaven. So we Christians have our covenant and the Jews have their covenant, and they get to God through their covenant and we get to God through our covenant. And their covenant is, of course, the old covenant at Mount Sinai, and our covenant is the new covenant made with the 12 disciples, 11 disciples in the upper room. Okay. Hagee, who will serve as the CUFI national chairman, says that the new organization aims to be a kind of Christian AIRPAC, which is the American Israeli Public Affairs Committee, through which every pro-Israel Christian organization and ministry in America can speak and act with one voice in support of Israel on biblical issues. The main issue following disengagement from the Gaza Strip is to not give up any more of the land of Israel, he said. Many Christian denominational leaders who represent some 30 million evangelical Christians in the U.S. have expressed support for CUFI in writing. These include such names as Dr. Jack Hayford, president of the Four Square Gospel Church, Paul Walker, assistant general overseer of the Church of God, international pastor Rod Parsley of the World Harvest Church, Benny Hinn, George Morrison, Kenneth Copeland, Steve Strang, Matt Crouch of the Trinity Broadcasting Network, and former presidential candidate Gary Bauer, president of the Family Research Council. The latter is the Washington-based lobbying arm of James Dobson's Focus on the Family. Scheinberg said he had worked with Hagee since 1981 when the pastor first broached the idea of organizing a night to honor Israel, which has become an annual event. Hagee came to the Jewish community, and of course they were skeptical, they were a bit suspicious and anxious about whatever agenda he might have, the rabbi recalled. He took public positions against proselytizing the Jews, which some of his own colleagues at the time criticized him roundly for. For example, Falwell was at that time very critical of his non-conversionary statements regarding the Jews. But that's not the case now, though. Falwell has changed his position, he said. Hagee has been consistent in his theological position, Scheinberg said, and this was reflected in both the declared policy of CUFI and at the public launch of the organization last month. It seems there was a great deal of unity, not unanimity, on non-conversion, a non-proselytizing agenda, that the Jews have a special covenant, and this was stated over and over again, the rabbi said. It was stated in Hagee's opening speech, in his opening statement, and then repeated again. And when there was a question period later, no one asked about this. It seemed to be understood that any hidden agenda, any attempt at conversion would undermine all their efforts, would be counterproductive, and that's not what they're about. There was always a concern on the part of the Jewish community that there's a hidden agenda to convert people and to proselytize people. And regarding that, Hagee was very strong in saying, no, we are not proselytizing, Scheinberg said. Scheinberg, the only rabbi at the CUFI launch, senses there has been a downplaying of traditional evangelical theology in favor of something more concrete, namely supporting Israel. He associates this phenomena of Christian Zionism with God's promise in Genesis 12:3, that's the one right here in our memory verse, that those who bless Israel will be blessed and those who curse Israel will be cursed. The reason that I was at the summit was that I've been with him since the very beginning. It's not because I was Orthodox. I'm sure on other occasions he would be happy to invite the conservatives. The Reform here have been very vocal in their opposition to anything that Hagee does. The Reform are the real liberal Jews, okay? There's the liberal Jews, which are the Reform. There's the conservatives, and then there's the Orthodox. So you have the Orthodox clear on the right wing, which would be over here on you, yeah. And then you have the conservatives, and then you have the Reform, which are the liberal ones, the left wing. Okay. let's see. The Reform here have been very vocal in their opposition to anything that Hagee does, not so much for his support of Israel, but because of the fundamentalist agenda, the social agenda, is quite different than the Reform liberal agenda, and particularly Hagee's position on gay rights, on abortion, on pornography, etc., run contrary or are anathema to some of the positions of the very liberal Reform, he said. Falwell has altered his position, according to Scheinberg, apparently because the pastor decided to put end-of-days theology aside in favor of the overriding need to support Israel, particularly against the mounting threat of nuclear Iran. Obviously, Falwell was very passionate about conversion, but he absolutely clearly knows Hagee's position and the Christians United for Israel position, Scheinberg said. No question about that, Hagee assured me. I would trust him in his role for Israel, for Israel's security, to strengthen Israel. I would be very surprised if Falwell ever tried to pull a fast one. Morrison, Bauer, and Hagee are so strong and so clear in their non-conversionary position, as well as the organization, unless he, Falwell, lapsed into a moment of stupidity, Scheinberg said, end of article. Now, I'll read you Jerry Falwell's rebuttal in a second, okay? But let me just say a couple of things, is that what you have here is people who are saying we need to support Israel for theological reasons. Now, let me say at the outset, I, Max Stoner, am a huge supporter of Israel, all right? I support the nation. I support her defense. I would go and fight for Israel, okay? So let there be no thought that there's any anti-Israel or anti-Jew attitude in me. But I would never support the Jews for theological reasons. I would support them for political reasons. I would support them because they are the only legitimate democracy in the Middle East. They're the only people who stand for Western civilization values there, and they're the bulwark against the barbarians of Islam, okay? So there's political reasons to support Israel, okay? But what these people are saying is there's theological reasons to support them. They're saying they're still the chosen people of God. Now, I don't believe that they are even Israel, okay? We, the church, are Israel, okay? And because they get the whole subject of the covenants wrong, they get the whole issue of why they're supporting Israel wrong, and even worse, they get the issue wrong of what the status of these people is in relationship to God. And this dual covenant theology that's floating around basically says the Jews have a way of salvation, and the Christians have another way of salvation, and the Jews don't have to be saved through Christ. They can be saved through their Mosaic law-keeping, and vis-a-vis the grace that was promised in the Abrahamic covenant. And they treat the Abrahamic covenant and the new covenant as though they're utterly divorced from one another. There's a watertight compartment between them, and there never was any relationship between them. Okay? Whereas what our memory verse is telling us, and what we understand from the teaching of the scripture, is that God instituted the Abrahamic covenant, and it was ultimately fulfilled in the new covenant. And so Jesus and the new covenant are the fulfillment of the old covenant, of the Abrahamic covenant. Okay. And the old covenant was just brought in alongside the Abrahamic covenant temporarily for a while to restrain sin until Messiah would come, the seed would come that was promised to Abraham. Okay. And so you have the Abrahamic covenant, major covenant, okay? The old covenant's brought in alongside and travels along with it for a while, and then the old covenant goes away. And then you have the new covenant, which is the next major covenant, okay, which is ultimately the fulfillment of all the promises made in the Abrahamic covenant. And, of course, Jesus is the seed of Abraham. We're the children of Jesus via the new birth. And therefore, we are now the descendants of Abraham. And Galatians 3 makes that abundantly clear when he says, "And if you are Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Okay? The promise of Genesis 12, verses 1 through 3. So, here's an example, a very concrete example, why it's critically important to get the subject of the covenants right. Because they think those people over there are Israel. We're Israel. And so all the promises made to Israel all accrue to us. And, of course, that's the reason why I don't support the Jews in the Middle East for theological reasons, because those people are not in covenant with God. They were, according to Romans chapter 11, broken off from what? The Abrahamic covenant. That's the olive tree. And the olive tree is the Abrahamic covenant. And the branches are the individual participants in that covenant. And for a while, both believers and unbelievers who were in the Jewish covenant community were part of and participants in the blessings of the Abrahamic covenant. Some, the external blessings, namely the blessings of the land, and others, the blessing not only of the land and the external covenant, external blessings, but also of the spiritual blessings of being the true children of God. So you had within the covenant community of the old covenant, saved and unsaved people who were both participants and recipients of the blessings of the Abrahamic covenant, spiritual and material. Some enjoyed both spiritual and material who were saved, some just material who were unsaved, but nevertheless in the covenant community. But when you come to the new covenant, what happens is all those unbelievers get broken off. And Acts chapter 3 makes that abundantly clear, as does Romans chapter 11 and other passages as well. And so what we see Jesus doing, for example, is sending Judas, the one unbeliever, out before he has the Lord's Supper and institutes the new covenant. So the new covenant is made only with the 11 saved apostles. The one unsaved was cast out, cut off, sent away. And this, of course, is indicative of the fact that all of the unbelieving Jews were, if you will, decovenanted. And the new covenant was made with believing Jews and believing Gentiles were then grafted in. So the Abrahamic covenant has never ceased to exist. It existed right along, and then the covenant community was pruned. The unbelievers were broken off. They got a new covenant, and the believing Gentiles were grafted in and just kept right on the same tree. There's not two trees. There's just one. And the result is now is that Israel, the descendant of Abraham, the descendant of Jesus, is now all those who have embraced Messiah as Savior. So what happened to those Jews that got broken off? Answer, they're broken off. You get it? They're broken off. They don't have a covenant relationship vis-a-vis the Abrahamic covenant anymore. Now, is that to say that they can't be saved? No. Paul said in Romans 11, if they believe, they can be grafted back in again. Okay? So I'm confident that among some of those Jews over there, there are God's elect, and some of them are getting saved, and some of them are being grafted back into the blessings of the Abrahamic covenant. But the ethnic nation as a whole is not in a covenant relationship with God anymore. And so for these guys to say, not only are they still in a covenant relationship, but that covenant relationship is of such a nature that it saves them is doubly wrong. Do you see that? You had a comment?
That's why Jesus, as part of the Abrahamic covenant, had to be a direct descendant of Abraham.
Have to be a direct descendant of Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. So the line was blood until it came to Jesus, and then the line is spiritual.
I got bunches to say on this. The Word of God says time and time again, he does not have a son, does not have a father. Doesn't say, gee, you know, if you don't want to come on board with this covenant, believe in my son whom I have sent, that's fine, you can stay over here and still get to heaven that way. Doesn't say that. There's numerous times where he he hammers him pretty hard, especially in the Epistle of John. And the thing, I mean, the dichotomy of having the dual covenant, they make it sound like it's an ethnic, racial thing, where the Jews have their covenant, the Gentiles have theirs, when in fact, the new covenant was made with Jews.
Yeah.
It wasn't made with Gentiles, it was made with Jews.
Right.
We're the ones grafted into their...
Right.
We came to their party.
We came to their party, exactly right. And that's why we should, you know, honor the Jews. I mean, our Savior was a Jew, right? We're not anti-Semitic. That's insane to say that Christians are opposed to Jews. We got our Bible from them. We got our Savior from them. We owe them. And that's what Jesus meant. When the Syrophoenician women came to him, and she says, "Lord, heal my daughter." And he says, "It's not fit to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs." And she says, "True, Lord, but the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table." And the point is, we're the dogs. Okay, they're the children. And we're getting the crumbs that have fallen from their table. Precisely. The rest of our... Did you guys read the rest of our memory verse? Okay, 1 Peter 2:9. "That you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light." And then he says, verse 10, "which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." So in times past, we Gentiles, we weren't the people of God. We were outside the covenant. We had no hope. We were without any hope. In fact, that's what it says in Ephesians. It says in Ephesians chapter 2. He says, verse 11, "In time, remember that you, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, were called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision, in the flesh made by hands. That at that time," get this, "you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." That's where we were. And by God's grace, okay, it says, "but now in Christ Jesus, you Gentiles who sometimes were far off are made near by the blood of Christ. For he, Jesus, is our peace, who has made both one, Jew and Gentile one, has broken down the middle wall of partition between us," okay, "having abolished in his flesh the enmity," which was the law of commandments contained in ordinances, the old covenant, which said, "you Jews, you don't mix with the Gentiles. They're anathema." Okay. "For to make of himself of two, one new man," one new covenant community, "so making peace. And that he might reconcile both," Jew and Gentile, "unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby." So the cross slew the enmity between Jew and Gentile and brought us together into one body. But as Scott well said, at one time, we were without hope. We were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenant of promise, and without God. And so, you know, I don't despise those people in the Middle East at all. I recognize that through them came my Bible and my Savior and all my covenant blessings. And so, you know, I honor and respect the Jew, but I also recognize he now is without, he has forfeited any covenant relationship with God unless he becomes engrafted into the new covenant through repentance and faith in Jesus.
As an individual.
That's right. Now, may there come a time in the future when God works some major revival in the Jewish nation and leads multitudes of them to Christ? Might happen. Maybe he has a huge reservoir of his elect yet within that nation or yet to be born. But they will come on the basis of their election, not on the basis of their Jewishness. Just like you came on the basis of your election, not on the basis of your Gentileness. Do you have more to say?
Yeah, on that dual covenant part, you know, I guess what the article is saying is that if they rest in the laurels of their Mosaic covenant,
right,
salvation,
right,
then it's gone.
10:4. Yeah. Well, you know, when you look at Hagee and Copeland, those guys, they're all unsaved, Scott. That's how they think this way. These people don't know their Bibles. They don't read their Bibles. They just use the Bible as something to twist in order to aggrandize themselves, promote their programs, build their budget, and increase their following. Calvin? Well, I'm going to read you his article now. Okay. Well, it was the rabbi who did the interview with the Jerusalem Post, okay? The rabbi was the one who was representing all this stuff about Falwell. You notice Falwell was never quoted in that first article. Now, here's Falwell's response next day. Denying a Jerusalem Post story that he had embraced a dual covenant theology, Southern Baptist pastor Jerry Falwell said March 1 that he believes all people, including Jews, quote, must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in order to enter heaven, unquote. Quote, I do not follow this teaching of dual covenant theology, and I believe it runs counter to the gospel, unquote, Falwell said in a statement posted on www.falwell.com. I've been on record all 54 years of my ministry as being opposed to dual covenant theology. Rejected by Orthodox theologians, dual covenant theology holds that Jews are saved through a special, unique relationship with God and need not trust in Christ for salvation. The Jerusalem Post story, published March 1, said that Pastor John Hagee and Rabbi Arieh Scheinberg, both from Texas, had, quote, apparently persuaded, unquote, Falwell to adopt a dual covenant belief system. The story quoted only Scheinberg and did not quote Falwell. Falwell has altered his position, according to Scheinberg, apparently because the pastor decided to put in-day theologies aside in favor of the overriding need to support Israel, particularly against the mounting threat of a nuclear Iran. The story, authored by Ilam Shayem, said, the story noted that dual covenant theology runs counter to mainstream evangelism. Falwell's complete statement follows, quote, here's Falwell's complete statement. Earlier today, reports began circulating across the globe that I recently stated that Jews can go to heaven without being converted to Jesus Christ. This is categorically untrue. These false reports originated from a March 1 Jerusalem Post front page column which said an evangelical pastor and an Orthodox rabbi, both from Texas, have apparently persuaded leading Baptist preacher Jerry Falwell that Jews can go to heaven without being converted to Christianity. Televangelist John Hagee and Rabbi Arieh Scheinberg, whose Cornerstone Church and Rodefe Shalom congregations are based in San Antonio, told the Jerusalem Post that Falwell has adopted Hagee's innovative belief in what Christians refer to as dual covenant theology. This creed, which runs counter to mainstream evangelism, maintains that Jewish people have a special relationship to God through the revelation at Mount Sinai and therefore do not need to go through Christ or the cross to get to heaven. While I am a strong supporter of the State of Israel and dearly love the Jewish believers, pardon me, let me rephrase that. While I am a strong supporter of the State of Israel and dearly love the Jewish people and believe them to be the chosen people of God, which I don't, I continue to stand on the foundational biblical principle that all people, Baptists, Methodists, Pentecostals, Jews, Muslims, etc., must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ in order to enter heaven. Dr. Hagee called me today and said he never made those statements to the Jerusalem Post or anyone else. He assured me he would immediately contact the Jerusalem Post and request a correction. Before today, I never heard of Rabbi Arieh Scheinberg or had any communications with him. I therefore am at a total loss as to why he would make such statements about me to the Post if in fact he did. In this age of political correctness and diversity, the traditional evangelical belief that salvation is available only through faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ is often portrayed as closed-minded and bigoted. But if one is to believe in Jesus Christ, he must believe his words. Quote, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Unquote, John 14:6. I simply cannot alter my belief that Jesus is the way to heaven as he taught. Again, I do not follow this teaching of dual covenant theology, and I believe it runs counter to the gospel. I have been on record all 54 years of my ministry as being opposed to dual covenant theology. In fact, Dr. John Hagee has indicated to me as recently as today that he likewise does not accept dual covenant theology. I want to reaffirm that I am a Zionist in terms of Israel's entitlement to its homeland. I continue to pray daily for the peace of Jerusalem, as the Bible instructs Christians to do. And I have dedicated my life and ministry to working for the peace of Israel. I dearly cherish the highly esteemed Jabotinsky Award, which was given me in 1981 by Israeli Premier Minister Menachem Begin. I have led thousands of pilgrims through the land of Israel during my 31 tours over 36 years. I seriously believe that few Americans have invested more time and resources in the defense of Israel in this generation than I have. However, I simply cannot alter my deeply held belief in the exclusivity of salvation through the gospel of Christ for the sake of political or theological expediency. Like the Apostle Paul, I pray daily for the salvation of everyone, including the Jewish people. Unquote. Now, there's another lesson here, and that is you need to be very careful about believing what other people tell you about what other people have supposedly said and what they supposedly believe. I have people say all kinds of stuff about me and about my wife, that they said this and they believe that. And 90% of it isn't true. If you want to know the truth, come and ask me, come and ask my wife. Then you'll know the truth. So, just because it's in the newspaper doesn't mean it's true. I remember when we started the church here back in 1990, I went to the newspaper and said, hey, we're starting a church. Why don't you do an article on our church? And they sent out this dingbat reporter. And, she took a picture and, interviewed me. And I wrote up a press statement for her to use. She didn't use any of it. She wrote her own version of what I said and made me look like a complete idiot. Like I didn't know how to talk and I couldn't think straight and I couldn't make sentences connect because she didn't. She couldn't. And I still have the article at home and it's like, brother, this is the first impression the community get. Pastor is an idiot. Okay? Because of what she said, I said in quotation marks. She says, a donor said, blah, blah, blah. I didn't say that. And so as you go through the memory verse, this is a big verse. It's an important verse. Nicholas?
I was just going to say, I didn't even interrupt you there, but without that article, two things are interesting. The rabbi,
yeah,
he makes a comment a couple times in there equating the Orthodox belief that salvation is through Christ alone with Falwell's position on end time. He says that he takes a back seat where he sets aside end times, his end time for this, inclusive view of, or dual view of salvation.
Yeah. Well, I did. And that really didn't make any sense to me. But, of course, the rabbi misrepresented Falwell in several respects, so it doesn't surprise me that he would make a nonsensical statement like that. But, the point is, I can see Falwell and others getting together with Jews to work for the cause of Israel. I've gotten together with Catholics to work against the cause of abortion. All right? But I never said, I'm not going to try to win them to Christ while I'm doing it. Okay? And that's the difference in this organization, is Hagee saying, we're going to get together, we're going to work with the Jews to support Israel, and while we're working with them, we will not convert them. Not only will we not try to convert them, we don't think they even need to be converted because they have their own way to get to God. Now, according to Falwell, he denied that to Falwell, but he has, I don't know where he's at, but a lot of people have signed on to this. Go ahead. Who knows?
Yeah.
Point is, dual covenant theology does exist. It does have proponents. What names are attached to that, I'm not going to stand up here and say, because I haven't heard it with my own ears out of their mouth. Okay? So I can't bear witness. But it does exist. It is being taught in some circles. Okay? And what I would say is all these people who are listed here have agreed because of their understanding of the covenants and understanding of the end times that they need to be supporters of Israel. But that doesn't mean even if they're participating in this organization, that they believe in dual covenant theology. It may mean that they have committed themselves while they're working with these people not to evangelize them. If they've taken that stance, that's a compromise.
And I see one of the drawbacks to their theological position, according to their dual covenant, that's why, you know, a lot of people have, they say in the end, you know, I think it's Romans 11, all Israel will be saved.
Right.
Well, let's talk about us, God's elect.
Right.
All Israel will be saved.
Yeah.
We're not talking about the Jews.
Yeah.
And, you know, and a lot of people will take that and put that in both that, that we got to keep supporting Israel, keep them alive, keep them happy, because in the end, then they're all going to be saved. And so we need to, you know, and,
I understand the word Israel is used in two ways. It's used of the national entity and the bloodline descendants, and it's also used of the true people of God, God's elect.
Right. You know, Paul just got to keep going on a two-chapter thing, explaining.
They are not all Israel, which are Israel, right.
And talking about God's elect, hammering home to...
And talking about Esau and Jacob, and Esau have I hated, Jacob have I loved. They're both descendants of Abraham. Go ahead. Yeah. Well, our time's gone. But understand, you are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Here's how they're going to be blessed. And to you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, that's the seed, sent him to bless you. Here's the blessing. Not a millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. Here's the blessing. Turning every one of you from his iniquities. That's the blessing. All right. Did I pass this out yet? Okay. All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you for giving us an understanding of your word. We pray for these men who are entangled in this heresy of dual covenant theology, whoever they may be. Father, we pray that you would deliver them from it, that you would save them, and that you would cause them to rightly understand the covenants and the gospel. Lord, we thank you for Jerry Falwell and for his clear, non-compromising stand on the need for everyone to come to salvation through Christ, and that there is no other way of salvation. Pray, Lord, that you would bless him and cause him to better understand the truth as time goes on. But thank you, Father, for his uncompromising stand for the gospel. And now, Lord, bless our time together as we celebrate the Lord's Supper. I ask that this might be a time of communion with you as well as with one another. In Jesus' name, amen.